the method.
Ideas. Method became
unsound.
Are my methods unsound?
Without doubt. Do you call it unsound method?
I don't see any method at all.
Hello and welcome to Unsound Methods with me, Jamie Batchin.
And me, Lachlan Bloom. For those of you tuning in for the first time, this podcast is part of a series where we speak to fellow writers about their craft and technique.
We've been away for a little bit during the summer. As you'll notice, there weren't any episodes in July, but we're back with the 12th episode, which is a little different this time around, as we've got two writers that we spoke to.
This took place in the French Institute in Kensington a little bit earlier in the year, backstage at the Beyond Words Festival. We took the chance to speak to Irish writer Emer McBride and French writer Noémie Lefebvre.
We managed to catch them both before they went on stage for an evening event, the audio of which the Institut Français have very kindly provided for us, and we're releasing that at the same time as this episode as a bonus. It was a very hot day. We were in a quite large, echoey room with the windows open, so the sound is not 100%, but I think we had a very interesting chat with both of them. For those of you who are interested in Emer's writing, and anyone who has an interest in contemporary fiction really should be interested in her work, we met up with her a couple of weeks after this particular interview and had a far more comprehensive chat with her. We'll be putting that episode out later in the year.
So without any further ado, here's Emer and Noémie.
Thank you for coming out on a nice warm day at the Institut Français. We wanted to speak to you both about your writing and your approach to writing. So I was wondering if you could say initially, maybe Noémie first, when you began writing fiction seriously.
There's no straight limit between writing normally and writing for a book. There's no straight limit.
But you've worked as an academic.
I don't like academies.
Okay.
I don't want to write in academic styles.
So your debut novel, which was Blue Self-Portrait in English, came out in the last 10 years. So what led to you deciding that you wanted to publish fiction?
So I wrote this book, and it's in 2005. Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I did other things. The book was in my room, and that's my sister. She said you have to send it to Yves Pages.
Uh-huh. And Emer, with your star, I was wondering, because in the UK, it's quite well publicised, I think, that the gestation period of your debut. So I was wondering if you could just tell us about your experience of writing and then waiting 9 years.
Yeah. So, like Noémie, also I wrote a lot as a child. But when I left school, I went to drama school. I wanted to be an actress first. And after I finished that, realised that wasn't really for me and started writing again. When I was 26, I wrote A Girl is a Half-Formed Thing in 6 months, and then sent it out full of joy and expectation of immediate success, and didn't receive any, and just received many, many rejection letters. And it wasn't until 9 years later that I was living in Norwich, and a tiny little press coming out of the Book Hive indie bookshop read the manuscript and published it, and suddenly it was there in the world. But in the intervening years, I'd been working on my second book, The Lesser Bohemians, so that was published 3 years ago, more easily.
Uh-huh. What kept the motivation there to move on to the next project and retain the belief in...
Well, for the first 3 years after I wrote A Girl, I didn't write at all. And then I moved back to Ireland for my husband's work. And that was kind of the moment where I had to decide whether, even if I was a failed writer, if I was still a writer, and realised that even if I would be a failure all my life, I wasn't able to do anything better than write. So I had better stick with it. And then I started working on The Lesser Bohemians. And honestly, I put A Girl as a Half Home Thing in the drawer, and I thought that was it. And I didn't expect it to be published, so it was a big surprise when that finally happened.
So I've read in other interviews that you've done that part of A Girl as a Half-Form Thing was an idea of removing the writer from the work. So to what extent do you think it was possible to be successful with that? And to what extent do you think that was what publishers found most difficult about it?
To be honest, I think publishers just found the strange punctuation the most difficult thing. I think most of them probably read 5 or 6 pages and couldn't really work out what was going on and didn't give it long enough to really get into it. But certainly for me, the idea was really trying to give readers a completely different kind of experience. I wanted the reading of the book to be a physical experience rather than an intellectual experience. And part of that was trying to take out the parts of identity that differentiate the reader from the character. So it was removing things like names, places, removing any kind of physical description of what the character looked like, so that really they were experiencing everything through her eyes, rather than looking at her as an object.
Are you able to comment, I guess for both of you, when you start a project, is there an essence of what when you know that you've got the start of something? I presume you have ideas all the time, but what signals out an idea as the potential start of a novel? Is it a feeling, a concept, a plot point, a mood, an emotion, or a mix of those?
Well, for me, I started writing the novel because I had some money to write a novel. I knew I had about 6 months where I would be able to write, and so I just had to. And so I didn't come from a writing background. I didn't know how you wrote a novel. So I thought, well, I'll write 1,000 words a day. Something will happen, surely. And so every day I sat down and wrote 1,000 words. And it was terrible. It was all terrible, just rubbish. And then one day, the first lines of A Girl appeared, and I thought, okay, that's it. And I didn't know anything else about it, where it would go, what it would be about. I just knew that was the beginning.
Mm. And did you do anything different that day? What had led up to that point that you sort of made a breakthrough and thought, this is the start of something?
I think it was all of those weeks of just writing rubbish was just clearing out space so that there was room for something interesting to come through. And also I had to get rid of any other old ideas that I had. I thought, that's a great idea. I must write a novel about that. And then you start writing and it's just rubbish. And you just clear it out and clear it out and clear it out. And then suddenly you're open and then something can happen. Mm.
And with those first lines, what was it a connection on the emotional level, or was it the form of the words? Or
I think I saw it, I could see it, and I could feel it. And it didn't really, the image didn't really make any sense. Fetus in the womb talking was not really something I was interested in, but it hit something inside that just felt there was a place for that to develop.
And Naomi, with the start of A Blue Self-Portrait, I've read that you wrote it in 6 weeks. So what was the point that began that period of what must have been very intense writing? What did you have in your mind before sitting down?
I think I must say that this was exactly the contrary. I hadn't any time to write at this time. But I came from Berlin, and I had a strange feeling that what I have seen in Berlin, what I said in French, En fait, c'est l'urgence de réparer quelque chose dans une expérience concrète qu'on a fait ou des choses qu'on a remarquées qui ne peuvent pas continuer. L'urgence de dire quelque chose.
So it was the urgency of repairing something that happened in a situation, in an experience, and the urgency to say something about it.
Ce qui fait que j'ai envie d'écrire, c'est toujours que tous les problèmes qu'on rencontre dans la vie ne peuvent pas être simplement des problèmes. Il faut que ça devienne quelque chose de beau, ou de composé, ou de recréer. Pour faire du sens.
And so it's an idea that problems in life cannot remain as problems. They need to be transcended and become something beautiful, something with meaning.
Mm. And that sounds the impetus for the writing was a personal experience that you then turned into fiction.
Yeah.
What difference, if any, do you see between pure documentary writing? What it really happened in a sense and fiction, why choose fiction rather than a more documentary approach to
fiction is a way to be free with yourself, to speak for other and to speak with humor about very hard subjects like fascism, Nazism. It's also a question of music, of form. One says anything that you can say in the language of political sciences or everything in social sciences.
Like that line between fiction and autobiography or documentary, where you see fiction adding something more than a pure.
I agree with what Naomi said, that it's about an idea of transcendence, about something being more than the record of a personal experience. And I think if you do that, you can access a deeper level of truth rather than a simple, literal, this is what happened, I went here, he said this, we fell out kind of truth. Which is why I really don't have any interest in writing autobiography or memoir. And I think in Les Bohemians, because I knew that the subject matter was very difficult, that there was so much about sexual abuse and about the complexities of the relationship between these two people, I also wanted to give it I wanted to add something about love. And I wanted to write about the London that I had known as a 17-year-old when I arrived in 1994 to go to drama school. And that would act as a ballast, that there was... So the London that's described in the book is actually completely autobiographical according to my memory. I don't know if it all was exactly as I describe it, but it's as I remember it. And I felt just having to recreate a place that I loved and set a story inside that place in a way just gives it a boundary of reality, but also allowed it to recreate that sense of urgency and excitement of being young in a place that's new, that I didn't have to work for, that I understood instinctively.
Mm. And I guess leading on from that, do you do much research or notes? A question for both of you before starting. It says that Les Bohemians, you already knew the sort of world you were going to write about, so you didn't need to research so much. But do you have any sort of processes for taking notes or researching that you sort of come back to regularly?
Je vais répondre en français, encore une fois. Je ne fais pas des recherches pour une fiction.
There is no research ahead of when I write fiction. I don't set out to do some research. Research happens on a day-to-day basis. Whenever I write, sometimes I need a specific element that I need to research, and I do it there and then. I think for me, it's a question of going as far as the reality you want to create. That means I'm no Flaubert. I don't set out to create dossiers on whatever I try to set out to write.
And Imrati, your note-taking...
No, I don't do any research at all. I'm very lazy. I want to write. I just, you know, my research is I'm a person who's alive in the world with her eyes open and her ears open. And I'm interested in just trying to transcribe that inner world, and I like to keep it close to things that I understand so that I don't have to allow any kind of alien intelligence into the work. I feel like I have to keep it very pure and very simple.
And so it sounds like neither of you work from notes at all. You sort of jump straight in and start writing should be the finished
article. Write anything down that isn't written in the book. I used to, but I find that if it's important, I'll remember. And in its own time, it will come out. But if I'm sitting looking at it, trying to work it in, then it just dies. So I don't have any plans. I want to just sit and see what happens and try to follow the logic as it emerges, which means that I can't tell anyone what the book will be at the beginning. I have to find out myself. And any time I've tried to create a plan, that story has immediately died because there's nothing in there for me. I already know what happens, so why am I writing the book? For me, it has to be a process of discovery.
Mm. And is that process fairly linear? Do you start page one, chapter one, and sort of work your way towards the end? Or
yeah. Yeah, and if something's wrong, I can't go on until I fixed what's wrong because everything has to organically develop out of what has come before. So if this is wrong, then this will be wrong. It's got to go from beginning to end.
I guess that brings to another question of what when you say something is wrong, what how do you identify bad fiction or something that's wrong? What are you looking for and how do you identify it and ultimately, how do you change it to something that isn't wrong?
Animal instinct. Really? I think that's all I have to go on, is I just have to have a sense that something is truthful and that there will be a logic. If you maintain that something truthful, the logic will develop from that and you follow that logic the whole way through. And if you impose something that you want, because you want to write a book about X, Y, Z, it will destroy the logic. You have to allow, you have to be at the mercy of it.
And when would you discover that? Do you sort of write and then reread what you wrote the day before, or write for a week and reread what you've written that week, or reread it at all and just come back to the sentence you finished the day before?
No, I would write and then every morning reread a large chunk of what I've written the day before and usually cut a large chunk out of that.
And is that at that point that you'd feel, oh, this isn't working as you
read
what
you've done?
Yeah, so
I'll
go,
oh, okay, now I'm starting to tell a lie. Just get rid of that, start here. And then, of course, once you get to the end, it's different because you can see it all and there are little bits and pieces that need to be fixed. But, yeah, I have to do it as I go.
By the end of the day, you've hopefully fixed what...
Well, fixed some of yesterday's problems and created some more problems for tomorrow.
And Noria,
moi, c'est pareil. Je commence par le début. C'est plus simple.
Same for me. I start with at the beginning. It's easier. So it's a question of finding the right tone for each book. Each book has a different place with regard to the reality of what you want to write.
Parfois, c'est très simple parce que la question de la forme est tout de suite adéquate avec le sujet qu'on traite. Parfois, il faut chercher un peu l'endroit où c'est le plus exact.
Sometimes it's easy because the form immediately fits to what you want to write, and sometimes you have to search a little bit longer to find the right one.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Unsound Methods. We hope you're enjoying the podcast. Remember, you can find us on Twitter at Unsound Methods, or you can contact us by email at info@unsoundmethods.co.uk. And both of you sound very sort of instinctive writers. Does that mean that you have to put up with false starts? And are there How far have you pursued false starts in terms of tone and character that you've then had to abandon?
Le faux départ, il n'est pas sur le livre. Il peut être sur un sujet.
The false starts are not about the books themselves. They're about the topics that are used in the books.
Par exemple, j'ai écrit beaucoup sur la question du travail, de l'emploi, avant que ce thème vienne nourrir ce livre précisément.
So, for instance, I wrote a lot about work, about employment, before that theme came to feed into a book that I was writing. Mm.
Et ensuite, ça peut être aussi une nouvelle, un écrit court. Pour vous, nouvelle, c'est long, mais en France, c'est court. Un écrit court, short story, où on trouve quelque chose qui donne l'idée d'un roman.
So it can be like a short story, something that eventually gives an idea for a longer work.
Mm-hmm. And do you have a sense of the form instinctively, that it's, do things just feel like they're appropriate to be a short story rather than a novel? Or have you sometimes tried to stretch a narrative that's just ended up making sense as a short story?
You cannot try to decide yourself if it's a short story or a novel. Mm-hmm. It comes from the writing. Sometimes you have the feeling it will be a very long book. And after 20 sides, it's finished.
Mm-hmm. I guess related to that, how do you know when a piece of work is finished?
Like a child, when a child is drawing, so the teacher comes and say, "Where is the sun?" It's no windows in your house, and the child says, "No, it's finished." He decides.
And even the same question, do you have a process to work, or how does the realization that a piece of work is finished?
Well, you know, I think it's just when it's dead inside you, then you're done. Then you know it's finished. And I mean, I've only written two novels. One took me 6 months to write. One took me 9 years to write. So, you know, those have been wildly different processes. And, you know, The Lesser Bohemians, now it's like a 300-page novel. But once upon a time, it was an 800-page novel. But I knew in all that time that I had to keep circling it and working it, because it wasn't what I wanted it to be. And I had a sense of what it should be, but that it wasn't. And the minute that it was, that was the end.
So that was the end, and you didn't then go back and edit it all.
I mean, there's sort of going back and tidying and everything, but essentially when the book was itself, then that's the end. And then that's why things like copy editing and proofing are such torture, because it's already over for you, but you have to go back and do all these little
presumably at that point it is just sort of minor changes, rather than you're not sort of getting a first draft and then going back and
no at that point it's really just cursing yourself for using so many full stops.
Were you editing The Lesser Bohemians still at the point that you were editing your first novel that had been written 9 years previously? I mean, I guess what I'm getting to is, did you have to leave the sort of mind space of that book to go back to something that had been put in the drawer for?
And I did, because I had been writing Lesser Bohemians for about 6 years when Girl is a Half-Room Thing got published. So I suddenly had to just stop, put it away, and look at this thing that I had written years before and try and remember what it was that I had wanted it to be. And so there was a period then when Girl was published and I was having to go and do touring and things, when I just had to stop with Lesser Bohemians because it was just too hard and I was getting too confused between the forms and the books. And I spoke to a writer friend of mine, and she just said, leave it. It'll be okay. It'll be there when you're ready. And so I did. But all that time, I felt as though it still felt very alive in me. I didn't feel like I'd turned it off. I just had to take a step back from it. And that was very tricky, to really inhabit those two very different worlds simultaneously.
Do you think that was something that, despite of circumstances, you had to, right? I mean, do you feel naturally drawn to having different projects on the go at the same time? I mean, are you working on one project or 10 or?
No, I mean, my preference is one thing at a time. But this year I've been doing lots of things, which is different. I mean, but not novel. None of them have been a novel. I think when it comes to fiction, I'm very austere. That has to be. When it comes to the novel, that's it, and nothing else can exist when that's happening. But when there's other things, other types of writing, then I can kind of move between, because I don't feel my soul will be destroyed if I get them wrong. But if I get the novel wrong, then that's the end.
Okay. And Noemi, do you work on multiple projects at the same time, or do you sort of stick to one novel at a time?
C'est exactement comme Emma. Pour un roman, on ne peut pas tenir deux romans ou trois romans à la fois. Moi, je ne peux pas, en tout cas.
So it's exactly the same as Emma. I really cannot do more than one novel at the same time. But with other styles, it can be possible to write essays, short stories, poetry, all at the same time, because they're quite separate.
And do you always know what form something will be before you start, like poetry, journalism, fiction? Is it when you start putting pen to paper, do you always know what form you're trying to write in?
La plupart du temps, oui.
Most of the time, yes.
Après la publication d'un roman, je prends du temps. J'ai pas envie d'écrire un autre roman, en fait. J'ai envie d'écrire d'autres choses. Et je sais même pas si je vais écrire encore un roman. J'en sais rien.
So after I have written a novel, and when the novel goes to publication, I need to take time, I need to take a step back and maybe try other things, and sometimes I don't even know whether I will ever write another novel.
So you don't go through the editing process kind of desperately wanting to give attention to the next project?
Non, pas du tout.
Editing is about making it accessible to readership, and therefore after that process, what is important to me is just making myself able to accompany the readers further through questions, through being able to discuss the work with them.
And because you've obviously, the gestation periods of both those novels are quite extended, have you started working on a new work? And were you thinking during the editing of Lesser Bohemians, for example, I really want to spend some time, roll the sleeves up and get working on the new sort of creative?
Yes, in that Lesser Bohemians is the first part in a trilogy. So I thought, well, the first thing I'll do is I'll start on the second part of the trilogy. But I've actually ended up accidentally doing something else, which was nice, because it was nice to just start writing something that I hadn't sold to anyone, that I hadn't told anyone I was going to be writing, that nobody knew about, that I was just writing for myself. So that, and then also this year I've had a fellowship at the Beckett Research Centre. So that's been a very different process to sort of be given this opportunity to go sit in Beckett's archive, looking at his manuscripts for a year, and then at the end I have to write something, anything I want. But that comes from that experience, and that's been a really different approach for me.
If we look at it in the other way, if you weren't able to write fiction anymore, what would be missing from your life? What is it that is special about writing fiction that keeps you carrying on writing the next book and the one after?
The time to speak. The time to hear my voice, to hear other voices.
And anywhere?
I think if I couldn't write fiction, I would be completely lost. It's the way I know how to process the world. It's how I understand what I think. And which is why, you know, I'm always terrible in events and never know what to say, because literally, unless I'm looking at the keys and it's peering in front of me on the page, I don't know what I think. I don't know what I think until I sit down and write, and then I understand what I think.
So that was episode 12. Thanks for listening to Unsound Methods. You can find us online at unsoundmethods.co.uk or on Twitter at Unsound Methods. You can find me and my writing at lachlanbloom.com or at lachlanbloom on Twitter.
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Batchen, or my website is jamiebatchen.com. Thank you again for listening. We're going to continue to have a bit more of a break between the podcasts over the summer months, and as we head into autumn, we should be with you again in a month's time. Thank you for listening, and enjoy the rest of your summer.